looking at especially the thematic words of verse 36 of John, that first half in particular, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Brothers and sisters, young people, and those of us that have been around for quite a while as far as our faith is concerned, has it ever struck you that from the moment you say Jesus is Lord and you begin to walk the talk, the devil gets to work? And the devil, as you know, has any amount of arrows and instruments that he can use to make it miserable for us. But perhaps the most effective place that he can attack you and me is in here, in our minds. And the devil has a ball, for his big gospel word is doubt. He raises doubts. He undermines your faith. Especially in the last number of years when we've had so-called the gospel of Richard Dawkins and those with him challenging us and actually ridiculing us in claiming that God is a delusion. And that's the first question, but so many come after it as well. Am I kidding myself in calling Jesus Christ the Son of God? And even if he is the Son of God, how can I be really sure that I am saved? I mean, it might be okay for you pious people, but how can I be sure? And the devil's having a ball. Doubts. He sows them, and he never seems to run out of enthusiasm as far as sowing those doubts is concerned. Now, we know that at a very fundamental level, the strategy we need to fight doubt is to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is, you know it, the Word of God. And open it up and read about it and think about it and take up its power. And one place, of course, that we can really find this sword in a beautiful way, I think, is in John's Gospel. And as I pointed out this morning, who of us does not know that basic of all thrust, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever, put yourself there, whoever believes in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. And yet the devil still tickles your ears. Nice verse, but are you sure? Well, today I actually went on to go a little bit further in chapter 3, where the focus is on the ministry of John the Baptist, where John comes to that point in his ministry where he says, he, talking about Jesus, the bridegroom, he must increase, but I must decrease. And then, of course, John indeed makes that statement, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Now, that word believe in the Bible is very closely associated with that other five-letter word, faith. In the Greek language, it's the same root. Believing and faith belong together. If you like, faith is belief expressed and experienced as surrender to and trust in someone or something. Now, as Reformed believers, and I use a capital R for a moment, as Reformed folks, we have grown up in the tradition and have been taught in the tradition of the Reformation. And we've learned the alones of the Reformation. Do you remember them? The Bible alone, salvation through Christ alone, faith alone, grace alone, to the glory of God alone. I'm not always quite sure of the order, but that's a good way to do it. Now, faith alone. Now, that faith, of course, has an object, and that object is the Lord Jesus himself. It was faith alone as the way of salvation in all its fullness that set alight the Reformation. We think Martin Luther in 1517 and the gospel that he rediscovered as a lecturer in the book on the book of Romans, and he went through the book of Romans and he wrestled day and night and then discovered that salvation is not achieved by us. It's not something we merit, but it is totally, completely, 100% by faith alone. And that's why he picks out, and I am going back to what Luther did, Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, that is the gospel, in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. And then, of course, when we come to that glorious section in Romans chapter 3 from verses 22 onward, it begins like this: the righteousness of God comes through faith in Christ Jesus for all who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. This is exciting stuff. Now, the Reformation flamed as a result of that. We sort of get a bit used to it, but don't ever get used to it. And of course, Romans 5, chapter 1, our weekly devotional, our devotional books also highlighted this chapter this week. Chapter 5, Romans: therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So, those who have faith in, or to use different words, those who wholeheartedly believe Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God, these people are those, according to the scripture, that are saved, and the only way they can be saved is by faith alone. Now, the trouble is, and this is where I want to go a little bit deeper than I did this morning, the trouble is that this fundamental truth, salvation by faith alone, is what I call counterintuitive. Quite frankly, it goes against the grain, our human nature. And as I've heard my catechism students say to Pastor, that seems too easy, too simple. Well, is faith, that is, believing in Jesus as Lord, all it takes in order to receive the righteousness of God to be saved? Well, that's what our text says. It says it so clearly. Whoever believes, it doesn't say anything else, it hasn't got a little plus behind it. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. And one of my favorite verses, 1 John chapter 5, 13, puts it this way: I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, salvation by faith alone. Let me make this statement here, and again I'm repeating, but it's a good repetition. Salvation, brothers and sisters, has to be by faith alone. Because if salvation is not by faith alone, we have no gospel. We have no good news. Now, why do I say that it has to be by faith alone? Well, ask yourself the question, is there any other way? Yes, there is. When you think about it, in theory at any rate, there is another way to be saved. All you've got to do is to obey God. Totally. 100%. 100% of the time. Any takers? The catechism is rather somber here. At one point it will go on to say, after the Ten Commandments, even the holiest amongst us have but the smallest amount of the obedience required. Brothers and sisters, most religion today, and a lot of Christianity as well, has fallen into the idea that whilst God does a whole lot in terms of saving you, if you don't do your bit, you're not going to get there. If you like, it's faith, not alone, but faith plus. When I was a young kid, I remember our dominie, we called him that in those days, selling us no pluses, young people. In other words, it's not faith and. Because if it depended in any shape or form on your contribution, even if it was 99% Jesus and 1% you, guess who'd fail? I would, quite frankly, and so would you. You see, the authors of the Heidelberg Catechism put it rather beautifully when they wrote, "My conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandment and of never having kept any of them. I am still, even now, inclined toward all evil." Now that sounds awful, doesn't it? But brothers and sisters, separate yourself from the Lord Jesus Christ. And what do you see? Nothing to write home about. And so the kind of religion that says, you be a good boy and you'll go to heaven. P.S. I've heard Sunday school teachers say that. I'm not preaching the gospel. Because the moment I point to you and say, and it depends upon you, or if I say it in another way, it depends on your decision, which is another way of saying the same thing, I'm in fact suggesting that salvation is not by faith alone, but it is by faith plus. And guys, erase the plus. Because if it was a plus, I would not be able to stand on the pulpit and preach the gospel. All I could do is, if you like, get out the whip every Sunday and get you to do more and more and more. And the more you do, the more you'll doubt. That's what it boils down to. So, brothers and sisters, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3. There is no one righteous, no, not one. So if people say to me, why do you, pastor, why do you preach that salvation is by faith alone? It is because I have to tell them that if it isn't by faith alone, there is no gospel. Can you hear the importance of what I've said here? There is no other way except to believe. That leads me a little bit further. What is faith? Now, here's my chance to put on the teaching hat for a minute. When I think faith, I immediately put up three fingers, and there's a reason for that. When I think faith, the first thing I want to say is that faith has content. There's a what factor. What I believe. Faith has content. You believe in and certain things about. Now, the content of my faith is stated simply. I can say, well, I believe the Bible to be the Word of God. What do you believe, Pastor? I believe the Bible to be the Word of God. And just because, in case that becomes a little bit too heavy, I can say, well, I believe, for example, the teaching of the Apostles' Creed. There's a nice little summary there, which still needs explanation, but I believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe in the doctrine of the Trinity, as the Athanasian Creed highlights it, and I believe in the great, especially a broader statement with respect to the person and work of the Lord Jesus, as it's found in the Nicene Creed. We have these creeds. Creed, incidentally, is the Latin way credo, which means I believe. And you can also say, well, yeah, I could be more specific. I believe, for example, certain things about Jesus. I believe, my faith has content as to what I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he was with God from the beginning, Creator. But that in the fullness of time, he came to earth and lived amongst us. And we beheld his glory, as John witnesses to it. I believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophet, a promise. He is Mashiach, Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. So you ask me, has your faith have content? Yes, and I believe that Jesus, the Son of God, who lived here on earth, submitted himself to death on a cross. He humbled himself, as the Apostle Paul says it, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. I believe that Jesus really died. And then I believe with all my heart, the content of my faith is that on the third day he conquered death, didn't he? Death no longer is the stronger. He rose again. And I believe that he ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of God, and that he's coming again to judge the living and the dead. You see, my faith has content. You with it? There's a what factor. What do you believe? So, if you like, a what question. But the second thing I want to say about faith, of course, is that it is also, to use the words of Herman Barving, reasonable. What I mean is faith, if you like, has reason. It answers why questions. And when you study the Bible, and I defy, you know, I know a lot of people who have never studied the Bible and say, it's a book of nonsense. Okay, have you really looked at it seriously? No, but so-and-so has, and I take their word for it. No. The Bible never, ever asks you to bury your brains. It asks you to think. And it asks you to think through exactly what the Bible is saying about who you are, about who God is, and about who Jesus is, and about the way of salvation. The why of my faith is reasonable. 1 Timothy 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer or the reason for the faith that you profess. There you have it. So I say two things. Faith has content is a what question. And faith learns to reason and to say, why I believe. And young people and not so young people, I think one of the things that often strikes me about a lot of modern Christianity is that we have simply pushed aside the fact that we can reason.
Just believe, sir, just believe. Yes, I do just believe.
But I'll tell you what I believe, and it's my job as a believer to teach you and myself why. That's the second thing. Now, the third thing that I want to highlight is this. So many different words come to mind here, but one word that comes to mind is commitment. If you like, it's trust. That's the other word that comes in mind. Faith involves commitment. It involves trust. It involves, the other word I love is surrender. Now, I told the story last week, and some of you may know this already, but many years ago, with four little kids in tow, we went on our first South Island adventure. We went to the West Coast and went to the glaciers there. And we saw this walk, which looked very reasonable. I think we went to a place called Alex Knob. Is that the right name for it? I think that's it. Anyway, we're walking along this trail, and suddenly there's this huge chasm in front of us. It's about 15 meters deep and about that wide across there. And there was, you know these little bridges you get there, the wire bridges? And it had a warning. No more than one person at a time. 200 kilos maximum weight. I thought I might pass. And then I thought, well, we're going to get across there. And I put my child one by one on my shoulders, told them to hang on to my ears, and over we went. I think that I had to completely trust in a little sign which said 200 kgs and you'll be right. But reading the sign was one thing. It was reasonable. And it gave me the what. But then I had to step onto that rope and onto that plank. And brothers and sisters, that's what faith is. It's actually surrendering. It's trusting. It's taking hold of. And if there's one thing that we must continue to do for one another in order to grow in fellowship and in order to be a group of believers, is come on, let's encourage each other to trust. Yeah, and if necessary, when you have to cross that bridge, let me hold your hand. Let me pray with you. Let me just tell you in a simple way, I love you. So people say to me, what is this faith that saves you? I'll say, first of all, it is faith directed to the Scriptures. Faith that becomes a conviction that Jesus is all that the Bible says about him. And faith that therefore becomes reasonable. It's not simply a blind leap. Modern theology has often called it a leap of faith into faith. That's not what the Bible says. But then, it's stepping out onto the ropes and discovering brothers and sisters. And can us older people testify to the young ones, when you do step out there, it works. For there's no other way. How does the song say? But to trust and obey. Now, I want to finish off here by perhaps saying one more thing. And that's the person that comes over to me and says, I love what you said about faith. It's also true. And now somebody said this quite recently, a neighbor of mine, in fact. He said, I'd like to have it, but try as I might, I can't bring myself to believe it. What's the problem here? The problem, brothers and sisters, is that this person is really saying that faith is something that you and I, as human beings, must produce. It's that leap you must make. It's being told, unless you leap, you're not going to be saved. Now, I hate calling names here, but that, if you like, is Arminianism. What then? Brothers and sisters, faith isn't so much a leap that way as it is a leap to your knees. Faith is surrender. I've already used that word. Faith just takes hold of that and says, I have no choice but to believe. Remember what I said at the beginning? Salvation is either by faith alone or by works. And the moment we depend upon works, we're lost. If we're going to have any hope for the future, it's by falling at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And then needing to say, Lord, there's no other name that I can turn to. Isn't that true? There's no other direction that I can find peace, real peace. There's no other place where I can find hope. There's but one name given under heaven amongst men by which we must be saved. So tonight, or this afternoon, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. I hope this has made sense, and may the Lord encourage us as we continue to explore this subject. Amen. Let's pray. Lord in heaven, we believe. We believe with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength. And yet at the same time, we often cry out, help me in my unbelief. Lord, there is no other way. There's no other source of hope or comfort apart from what you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that we may also realize from the Word that ultimately our faith too is a gift of the Holy Spirit, but a gift, Father, that has given us hope and life and a future. Be with us all in this coming week, wherever we go and in whatever we do. Keep us close to your heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.